Listen, everybody, to the words I have to say. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White III with the Second Coming Watch update. This is update number 930. Let's take a quick look at today's prophecy-related headlines, which point towards the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the end of the world as we know it. First, today, under the sign category of wars and rumors of wars, according to the Jerusalem Post, a source quoted in a cache of leaked diplomatic cables and other reports noted that Hezbollah's supply of some explosive material had been cut off over the last decade. Hezbollah allegedly sought to get ammonium nitrate via Syria, bringing in thousands of tons of it from Homs. Hezbollah sought to dominate the agriculture ministry in Lebanon since 2009 to get a hold of the material. In February 2016, Nasrallah also said that ammonia is stored in Haifa and that there are 15,000 tons of gas in Haifa, and that explosions there might cause the deaths of tens of thousands of people. He said the expert added that this is exactly like a nuclear bomb. In other words, Lebanon has a nuclear bomb. This is not an exaggeration. Nasrallah laughs as he says this in the video, noting that Hezbollah refrained from striking the ammonia in the 2006 war. The archival footage has been circulating in the wake of the massive explosion in Lebanon that killed more than 100 people so far and injured over 4,000 and has left hundreds missing and great destruction. It illustrates Hezbollah's terrorist strategy of targeting civilians for mass murder. Despite the organization's claim that it is resisting Israel by defending Lebanon. Second, today, under the sign category of famines, according to Chosen News, the number of people fleeing from North Korea is increasing again, and homeless children begging for money are seen even near the capital of North Korea amid protracted sanctions and the coronavirus lockdown. According to a source, on Monday, North Koreans are gripped by fears of a severe famine than in the 1990s. The source, who has been to the capital of North Korea recently, said many homeless children can be seen at Kali Railway Station, a gateway to the capital. Homeless people are sporadically rounded up and forced into labor at a makeshift facility nearby. And when homeless children are discharged from the facility, they hang out near the station. The regime seems increasingly worried about social unrest. In July, it gave out rations of 10 to 30 kilograms of newly harvested potatoes to each home in the capital city. but that was not enough to solve the shortage. Department stores in North Korea are running out of imported goods, and open-air markets are short on commodities as a stricter lockdown was imposed again in July. Many drugstores have closed down as they have no medicines to sell. Third today under the sign category of turmoil in the Middle East, according to the Times of Israel, after Israel projected the Lebanese flag on the side of the Tel Aviv municipality, many Lebanese took to social media on Wednesday to express their ire over the attempted gesture of solidarity with the victims of the previous night's Beirut port explosion. The blast, which was apparently caused by the ignition of 2,750 metric tons of ammonium nitrate, has claimed at least 135 lives so far and left over 5,000 injured now and 300,000 homeless. One Twitter user wrote, "Sure, they're raising our flag now, but soon enough they'll destroy our country and violate our country's sovereignty." Israel announced Tuesday night that it had reached out to offer humanitarian aid to Lebanon after the massive blast rocked Beirut. The disaster has pushed Lebanon, already laboring under an unprecedented economic crisis, to the brink, and hospitals have struggled to cope with the influx of the injured. Using the hashtag #WeDon'tWantIt, many Lebanese expressed their rejection of both Israeli solidarity and offers of medical aid. Some users, especially those supportive of Hezbollah, said that they hoped for violence, with one person writing, "We will be the ones. We will be the ones to light up Tel Aviv with our rockets." Fourth today under the sign category of earthquakes in diverse places. According to Reuters, the Candelia Observatory and Earthquake Research Institute said a magnitude 5.7 earthquake shook southeast Turkey's Malatya province on Tuesday. It said that the quake struck at a depth of about 5 kilometers. Turkey's Disaster and Emergency Management Directorate said the quake was magnitude 5.2. The mayor of Putrajaya at the epicenter of the quake told broadcaster CNN Turk it had caused some damage, but there were no immediate reports of casualties. Fifth today under the sign category of increase in knowledge, according to Daily Mail, Elon Musk plans to link human brains to computers using tiny implants, but a new report warns the implants could leave us vulnerable to hackers. Speaking with ZDNet, experts said cyber criminals can access these brain-computer interfaces to erase your skills and read thoughts or memories, a breach worse than any other system. To make the technology secure, systems need to ensure that no unauthorized person can modify their functionality. Some believe that this is the beginning of 666. Be warned, this could mean using similar security protocols found in smartphones, such as encryption to antivirus software. Musk has been working on his startup Neuralink since 2016, which he says will one day allow human brains to interface with computers in order to avoid our species from being outpaced by artificial intelligence. The billionaire has claimed the brain-computer interface would help cure injuries, depression, and other ailments that plague the human body as well. Ladies and gentlemen, the prophetic passage of Holy Scripture that we are looking at today is Ezekiel chapter 36 and chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 20 says, "And when they entered into, and when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land." Allow me to share with you some important commentary on this passage from Exploring Bible Prophecy from Genesis to Revelation by Dr. Tim LaHaye and Dr. Ed Heinzen. However, it was the post-exilic generation returning to Judah in 535 BC that faced the greatest theological challenge. God had brought back a remnant to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple, yet the majority of Israelites remained in exile and continue to do so today. Were they meant to literally inherit the promises made by the former prophets? How could their experience of a meager return, to a land still under foreign domination while the majority of their fellow Jews remain outside the land, be considered a restoration? How could the temple they rebuilt, which was financed by a foreign government and erected under duress over an insufferable number of years, and which was pitiable by comparison to the temple of the past, fulfill the great vision they had been given? When would Messiah arrive to regather the Jews in the diaspora, conquer Israel's enemies, and restore Jerusalem? These were the theological questions Ezekiel's prophecies needed to address while encouraging the nation to seek the Lord and not lose heart over their present circumstances. In answer to these concerns, chapter 36 outlines the promise, purpose, procedure, and performance of the new covenant to reverse the condition of divine profanation and vindicate the holiness of Israel's God before the world. Chapter 37 complements the theological explanation of spiritual regeneration presented in 36:25-27 with its anatomical analogy of national, physical, and spiritual rebirth in 37:1-14, whereas chapter 36 is primarily concerned with the theological dilemma of restoring God's reputation through Israel despite its scandalous history. The last section of chapter 37 is concerned with the resolution of two great theological crises in Israel's history: the division of the 12 tribes into two kingdoms, Judah and Israel / Ephraim, in verses 15-25, and the loss of God's presence from the temple with the departure of the Shekinah glory in verses 26-28. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at the prophetic passages of Holy Scripture in our next podcast. Our second coming quote for today is from Dr. John Piper. He said, "The center of Christianity is the coming of the Son of God into the world as a real man to destroy the works of the devil and create a new people for his own glory. The very heart of our faith is that he did this by obeying the law of God, dying for the sins of his people, rising victorious over death, ascending to God's right hand with all his enemies under his feet. The second coming of Christ is the completion of his saving work. If you take it away, the whole fabric of his saving work unravels." Let's pray. Holy Father God, thank you for this reminder of the blessed hope. And Lord Jesus, we pray with your servant John, please come quickly. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. If you are not ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, may I encourage you to get ready today by receiving him as your Savior. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Keep looking up, dear friend, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let us join in the prayer of John the Revelator when he prayed, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." God bless you.